Either one is good.
Either one is good. All right, okay. Very good.
We've known your pastor for quite a long time. We worked at a machine shop, MD Pneumatics, and he worked right across the aisle from me. And there was a certain job that he was doing, and the chips came out of that machine like you would not believe. So what he did on my radial drill, he brought all those big chips and laid them all over the floor and on my workbench and all that sort of thing. The guys come down through there and say, "Whoa, Brother Taylor, how'd you do that with that little drill like that?" So we had several folks go on with that, so it was sort of funny. So let's go ahead and get started. Could I get your attention over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We have two other verses we're going to be looking at, but this is going to get us started this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Y'all have it? Smile at me if you got it. Ooh, that's the... I did that to our church overseas, and they didn't like it very much. So, okay, let's go ahead and bow our heads, have a word of prayer before we get started. We trust this will be a blessing to you, folk. Father, we ask that you be with us this morning. It's so good to come back to see Pastor Tim and Sandy and the people. Lord, we see that you've been busy here. You've raised up some people here. And Lord, just being around the men during breakfast this morning, they love you. And God, we ask that you continue to bless them, use this church in a mighty way. I know they have some fruit every place that we served, and they enabled us to go do that work. God, we ask that you be at the church in a special way. I don't think their work's done. They got a lot more to get done. And Lord, we ask a special blessing on VBS tomorrow when it starts. And God, give us fruit for our labor. Be with the puppeteers, all the workers, and work in a special way this week. Lord, we ask that you be with the funeral taking place Monday. I know some people are hurting this morning, and some are going to miss this lady in a very special way. She was a blessing to many from what I'm picking up. God, we ask that you be with your word this morning. Use it to make a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. The verse, what I'd like to do, I'd sort of like to pull it apart a little bit and share some things with you. Then we'll go on to the other two sections that we're going to look at. This is what the Apostle Paul has to say about prayer. I exhort. Now, I looked up that word to find out what Paul was trying to tell us, and this is what the word exhort means. It means to urge by a strong, and get this, urgent appeal. Okay? He's going to the phone and say, "Hey, I got something that is of utmost importance that you need to listen to." Let me read it. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications." If you look the word supplications up, it means request, a seeking, asking for definite needs. Now, if you look at the word supplications, it's in the plural form. Amen. So in other words, when you go to the Lord in prayer, you're not to just one time make a supplication. There is a continuous making of supplications. And then it says this, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, I looked that up, and what the commentators are saying, they're saying it's addressing God, a continual prayer. Again, it's in the plural form. Amen? You just don't pray just once, and that's it. Then you go on down further. It says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers," and then it has the word intercessions. It's in the plural form, okay? And this is what it means, to plead on another's behalf. an earnest request or petition to God, especially by prayer. Then you go on down further. It says this, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. It is also plural. You're to continually give thanks. And this morning at the prayer breakfast, there's a lot of guys, they had a lot they wanted to share about thanking God about particular things. And what that is talking about, praise, the expression of gratitude for God's abundant grace, the giving of thanks for answered prayer. Again, not once, but many times. And I love this last part because I can be found in this. Be made for all men. And what that is talking about all individuals, each, everyone, all manner of men. Amen? Now let's go over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17, 8 through 13, we have a very unusual story. And once we get into it, you'll probably recognize it. But Exodus chapter 17, 8 through 12. Give you a few seconds to find it. Then we'll go ahead and read it. Say amen when you got it.
Amen.
Okay. Bible says this, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Whoa, what's going on? But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, I don't know if you can remember the Amalek people, but they were the ones that attacked the people of Israel when they were finally making their way out of the country of Egypt. They were headed for the promised land. And it looks like God the Father was very upset with this group of people because of something that they did. When the people of Israel came out of Egypt, Amalek and his people, these guys are stinkers, okay? Instead of going head first into the people of Israel, what they do, they go to the backside of this big group of people where the feeble and the wore out people could be found, okay? And that's where they attacked. And God tells the people of Israel, you are to blot them out. Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 19. Let me read this to you. Remember what Amalek did to thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt? How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary. They were already wore out. Amen. The Egyptians just was not easy on the people of Israel. And he feared not God. He didn't care they were the people of God, Amalek and his people. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemy around about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. God was not going to forgive these people for what they did. Now, on this particular day the fight took place, there are some unusual things that took place, and we're going to sort of review this so we can get into what we'd like to share with you this morning. Now, this is what happened. Moses told Joshua, you get some men, and you go out the next day, and you meet with them. You go against the people of Amalek. And Moses says, now this is what I'm going to do. While you're down there fighting with them, I'm going to go on top of the mountain, and I'm going to have this special rod, and when I raise it up, you guys are going to win. But if I let that go down, the other side is going to win. So you see Moses going up on the hill there. And you know something, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking Moses is giving it a little bit. And you know something? I think when the people of Israel, when they're down there fighting with this enemy, what they're doing every once in a while, when they get a chance, they're looking up and they're seeing Moses with that rod up high. Amen? And that was an encouragement for them to really give it to the people of Amalek, when they fought with them. Amen? Finally, Moses, and it just makes sense, he gets tired. Okay? So two guys that are up there with him, Hur and a guy by the name of Aaron, one gets a great big old rock for him to sit on. First rocker in history. You guys get that? Okay. Some of you look like you want to throw a rock. Okay. But do you understand what I'm saying? They sit there, he sits there on that rock, and Hur gets on this one hand, and he stays up the hand, and the other guy, he holds this side up and stays up the hand. And folks, I'm telling you right now, when that rod is kept up, Israel is winning. But if the rod would go down, then Amalek and his people would start to overcome and put the people of Israel down. Amen. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when I look at this, I think that the rod that Moses held up is a perfect type of intercessory prayer. Amen. As a rod goes up, so much as our prayers also need to go up. Because let's do this. Let's pretend we're on the side. Israel is down here on the battlefield, and they're fighting with the Amalek people, Amalek and his people, okay? Now, spiritually speaking, if every one of us could look down on the battlefield there, every one of us would be seeing someone that we know. If you look real close, you're going to see your pastor down there on the battlefield. And you know something? If the rod comes down, then the enemy's going to win. So that rod has got to be kept up. Amen? And you know, all the missionaries that you guys support here, we used to be one of them. And I want to tell you something right now. Sometimes it got discouraging over there. We had so much slap us in Papua New Guinea. Our house burned down in a tribal fight. And my life, and we could go on. I could write a book, and maybe I should write a book. But one thing, when I'm there fighting on the battlefield, one thing that I could do where I would get encouragement is look back to where you folks were. And you guys had the rod up. And you know something? Then I could continue to go with it. All your missionaries, you know something? Your financially giving to mission gets them to the field. Amen? But it's your prayers that will keep them on the field. You got to keep that rod up. Tomorrow we're having Vacation Bible School. Your church is. What an excellent time to reach out to some of these little people. They're the future church. Amen. They need the Lord. And you know something? You need to keep that rod up so we could win the battle. Amen. Now, what I'd like to do with you, if I could, let me share some places with you in Scripture where we see some folk touching heaven for others. Very first one, go to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, 1 through 9. And what you're going to see is the man Moses touching heaven for the saints of Israel. Look at this with me, if you would. Moses touches heaven on behalf of Israel. 1 through 3, what you're going to see is Israel does battle with the Canaanites. Y'all find it? Amen? Okay, Numbers 21, 1 through 3. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed and vowed unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. Now look at verse 4 and 5. What you're going to see is Israel murmuring against God. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was, look at this, was much discouraged because of the way. Now, folks, I don't know about you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're discouraged because of the way. Amen. You're on the battlefield. Folks, you need to be praying for those that are on the battlefield. You need to keep that rod up. You need to be praying. There are some folks here today who's probably being hit with some big, humongous thing, some kind of tribulation that's come into life. And you need to keep the rod up for them, amen, that they get through. Sickness. We could go on and on. I have some loved ones that are down there on the battlefield right now, and the devil's doing everything he can to keep them from coming to a saving knowledge of Christ. The rod needs to continually be kept up. Amen. Now look what happens. Discouraged because of the way. And then verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loathes this light bread. Now look at verse 6 and 7. Moses intercedes for Israel. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And I love this. And Moses prayed for the people. He raised the rod. That rod's got to be kept up. Results of intercessory prayer by Moses, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he is looked upon, it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. Intercessory prayer, touching heaven on behalf of others. If you look at the man Job 42, 7 through 10, let me read this for you, if I could. Job touches heaven on behalf of his friends. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee, against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken to me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job to offer up yourself a burnt offering. Now look at this, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zorpah the Naamanite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And it wouldn't it be great if we were known as an individual that prays for their friends. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, the Apostle Paul says this, Paul was constantly asking others to touch heaven on his behalf. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Hebrews 13, 18, Paul again says this, pray for us, for we trust we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Now, if Paul is needing the prayers of God's people, how much more do we need them? Amen? James chapter 5, verse 16, I love what it says here. The saints are commanded to pray for one another. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one for the other, that ye may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Timothy 2. Let me read this to you. 1 through 6 and then verse 8. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We read that when we started out, but let's go to the verses afterwards. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And I love what this says. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I love what the prophet had to say. 1 Samuel 12:23. Listen to this. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Wow. Let me share something with you if I could. When we were over in one of the islands, we were finally able to get a group of people together, and we started off with just a morning service, desiring to, a little bit later on, when things would progress, we would be able to start night services, and we were able. It was great how things worked for us over there. This particular time, Carol was sick. She was in bed. She didn't go to the services that morning. I didn't sleep that night, and I just pushed myself through it, okay? Because there was no one to take my place, okay? So I thought, oh, when I get home, I'm going to go to bed and try to get over this, whatever it was. I no sooner lay down, and we have a missionary friend call us, Brother Barry. And he says, oh, Brother Taylor, how you doing, buddy? And I knew what was coming. And he says, Brother Taylor, do you think you could come tonight? Our people said they wanted to hear you this evening. And I made a promise to the Lord, whenever I was asked, no matter what was going on in my life, I would go. So I get up real fast. Okay, I'll be there. And it was a two-hour drive, wasn't it? Something like that. The roads over in St. Vincent, they were crazy. Every time we went out, we took our life in our own hands. They were that bad, okay? Anyway, 2 hours to get there, and I had an hour to shower and try to find some notes and put something together. So I shower, I grab notes, and when I looked at my notes, nothing was making sense. I thought, oh, Lord, you've got to do something. And hop in the car, get there, and I'm wondering, what in the world am I going to do? I don't even know what I'm going to speak on. And when I got there at the services, before services start, I tried to sit down and look at some stuff, and everything was jumbled up for me, okay? And I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? So I got up, and the Lord just intervened, and it went out. And after everything was said and done, we gave the invitation. We had one lady stand up and said, Brother Taylor, I needed that tonight. I thought, wow, what did I say? You know, what was going on here, you know? Well, I don't know who that was that spoke, but it wasn't me. So I get home. I drag in the house. He said, well, how'd it go? And I said, well, the Lord intervened. And it turns out, she says, when you left the house, I started praying. You understand what I'm saying? She lifted up the rod for her husband. She don't like me telling that story, okay? And let me share a story with you, and I think this is neat. I love this story. Listen. During World War II, a Marine was serving in the South Pacific. His platoon was under fire, and they were trying to signal their comrades that had taken a certain hill. The sergeant issued an order for a man to take the American flag and raise it up on the pole to let the other units know they had taken this ground. As he grabbed the flag and ran off to raise it up, he was shot by a sniper. Another man sent to retrieve the flag and raise it up, he too was shot. Now listen to this. Finally, a young private spoke up and said, "Sergeant, in just a few moments, it will be 4 o'clock. If you will let me wait until then, I will take that flag. I will raise it up on the pole." The sergeant thought for a moment and said, "All right, son." At 4 o'clock, that private jumped out of his foxhole, ran over and picked up the flag, and then he ran to that pole and raised it up. He then turned and ran back to his foxhole and jumped in without so much as a scratch. Okay? The men cheered, and the sergeant asked him why he wanted to wait until 4 to do what he did. The private replied, "Well, sir, it's 4 o'clock here, but it's 6 a.m. back home in Kansas. My mother loves Jesus, and she told me that every morning at 6 a.m., she would be on her knees praying for my safety. I knew that I would be safe while Mama touched heaven for me." Wow. Folks, you got to get the rod out. And there might be some folks here today, you might just raise it up. "Lord, bless this food. Bless the food." And then the rod goes down. But you know something? Maybe you're at that point in your Christian walk. You have let the rod down. But just like Paul says, I exhort you. Hey, it's urgent. You've got to get the rod back up where it belongs. Because when it's up, just like Moses, Joshua, he took his people against the Amalek people. When that rod was up, man, they were beating them back. They were running them off. But if his hand went down, then the enemy was able to run Israel back. We've got to keep the rod up. Let me share this with you if I could. The Apostle Paul touched heaven for the lost. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Amen. Abraham, you remember the story of Abraham. Several times he goes to God the Father and says, "God, please, would you peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city? Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there?" Then the number, he comes back to the Lord, 5 of the 50 righteous. And then it went down to 40, and then 30, and then 20, and then 10. He's interceding. He's trying to touch heaven on behalf of the people that was in that wicked city. I remember my brother, Steve. We got home from furlough, and I remember I went out to his house. He and his wife didn't know Christ, okay? So I went to them, and I tried to take some time to win them to Christ. And his wife asked me a question, and it was a loaded question, and I had to tell the truth. okay? And before I know it, I'm being escorted out of my brother's house. And they're unsaved. We went back to the field, and while we were on the field, I kept praying for my brother and his wife. Oh, God, please, please, God, please, you got to do something here. And when we finally got back home on furlough again, a few years later, I got to go out to Steve's house, and I thought, before I went and knocked on the door, I thought, well, they going to run me off again or what? Oh, Terry, come on in. And I went in, they accepted me, and it's like they forgot how I answered the question they gave me, the loaded question. And I'll never forget it. And I said, here goes. I said, did you guys get saved yet? He says, no. We've been waiting for you to come back. I got to sit down at the kitchen table with my brother Steve and his wife and laid them to the Lord. Both of them start bawling. My brother, he's got the big Fu Manchu, whatever that thing is, the muscle shirt, you know, he's just a rough old guy, okay? His wife, she was bigger than he is. And she could take care of me by herself, okay? She was that big. Anyway, both of them are just crying. But do you understand what I'm saying? You got some unsaved folks in your family. You got to keep. And I'm going to tell you something, right? There are times I thought, man, this ain't working. You got to keep the rod up. You got to keep it up there. Because the battle's going on. A spiritual battle's taking place. Let me hit one last thing because I think our time is over. Let me share this with you. 2 Kings 19:14-19. Open your Bibles. This will be it for right now. King Hezekiah touches heaven for those walking through a deep valley. And this is really neat, this story. You'll have it. Amen. Now look at this. And Hezekiah received a letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now what's happening? King Sennacherib, he's come into the area and he's threatening the entire area. He's already captured some peoples and stuff. Now he's going for Jerusalem, okay? So he starts sending out letters. And in the letters, they're threatening letters. Your God can't take care of you, da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to stomp you. I'm going to take you over and all this kind of stuff. When Hezekiah, he reads it, and what is so neat, he spreads it before the Lord. And it's like, okay, Lord, this guy, this hot dog, he said this, he's going to do this, and he lays it right there before the Lord. Okay, Lord, what are you going to do about this? You're going to let this guy do this? Let me read on further. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou above of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria has destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire where they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdom of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. He touches heaven on behalf of his people. But look at verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. by the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it shall come to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and they rose early in the morning. Behold, they were all dead corpse. A grand total of 185,000. Were taken out. Intercessory prayer. Getting the rod up. And then you're going to see Sennacherib. He goes back and his two sons, they kill him. Just like the Lord said. Could y'all do something silly with me? Could y'all get a rod up? Imaginary rod. Keep it up. I'll see you guys. Oh, that's a puppet coming out of me, okay? Did you like the soap thing with the preacher? Wasn't that good? Oh, I'm probably going to be run off. But folks, seriously, get the rod out, come on. Hey, is your rod up? Amen. Just in Scripture, just as it says in Scripture, the rod goes down. Go ahead, take it down. Who's winning? The enemy. Amen? So you got to get it back up. Come on, Miss Taylor. Amen. Maybe your rod is going down, you're a little tired. Go ahead and put your hands down. Maybe your hands are going down a little bit. You got to get them back up. And you know something, it's going to take all of us keeping the rod up. You know something, since I've been here, I've heard an awful lot of talk about prayer, about prayer. That's fantastic. But keep the rod up, amen? Your missionaries are dependent on it. Every ministry of your church depends on it. There may be someone here this morning, and you don't know Christ. You're on the battlefield, and the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from coming to a saving knowledge of Christ. If you know that person personally, you got to keep the rod up. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we ask that you be with us. Help us all to take a time out to consider where the rod is. Rod of intercessory prayer, touching heaven on behalf of others. If it's gone down, let that individual, that believer, that brother, that sister, make up their mind this morning. They're going to get it back up and keep it up. And Lord, there might be someone here right now that doesn't know you. They know not Christ. If you're like that this morning, you are in the right place at the right time. Could you raise your hand and say, Brother Taylor, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm afraid I know not Christ as of yet. Anybody like that? We're looking around. Believer, is the rod up? Is the rod up? Only you can answer that. It's so important. You know something? I think as believers, we need to start a new fad. When you're out somewhere and you see one of the church members, just raise your hand and then point at them, telling them you're raising the rod. In other words, you're praying for them. Amen. Father, be with us now as Pastor Tim comes. Lord, let the people do what they should. You're talking to folks. God, help them to be obedient. Lord, we love you. Help us to make you look good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.